Hello and welcome everybody to the Rise Podcast. Our mission is to give you the opportunity to discover the benefits of personal development and helping you to use these in a way that empowers you to improve your life. I am Basil and I welcome you to our first episode today with guest speaker Hal Elrod. Ready? Here we go. I am very excited that we have you here today, Hal. And for those of you who do not know who Hal is yet, he is one of the most famous keynote speakers in America. And his best-selling book, The Miracle Morning, has been sold more than 2.5 million times. It's also practiced by more than 500,000 people every day. Hal, thank you so much for joining us today.
This is great. I really appreciate it.
I just want to jump right into it. I already talked to all the people here a little bit about your book, The Miracle Morning, which obviously has been incredibly successful. And more than 500,000 people all around the world, including myself, actually practice The Miracle Morning every day. Can you just explain to the people who do not know yet what the concept of The Miracle Morning is?
Yeah, so the Miracle Morning is a morning practice that saved my life really in 2008 when the economy crashed and I lost my business. I lost over half of my income. My home was taken away by the bank because I couldn't pay the mortgage. I went deep into debt. I got depressed. It was a real kind of crisis for me. And I went through a lot of research after 6 months of nothing working, just trying to change my life. And I realized that the world's most successful people, one thing that most of them have in common is they start their day in a very purposeful, intentional way. And so for me, I thought, I want to create the most extraordinary personal development morning routine in existence. And so I just started researching, what are the world's most inspiring, successful, consistent individuals do in all walks of life? And I just was looking for the best practices to put into one ritual. And I ended up with a list of 6 practices. And I got a little overwhelmed. I thought, I can't do all 6 in the morning. That's a bit much. And then the epiphany was when I went, what if I did all 6? What if I woke up 1 hour earlier and I did 10 minutes of each of these 6 timeless proven practices? And I'll go into what those are in just a second. But I woke up the first morning. I didn't really know how to, one of them was meditation. I never really meditated at that time. I was 25. The other was affirmations, which I always felt were kind of goofy. The way I learned to do affirmations where you just pump yourself up and say, I'm amazing. I'm a champion. I'm awesome. You know, and I thought that's goofy, you know, like I want something tangible, something real. But even doing this morning routine really kind of disorganized, that first morning, I felt incredible. And I thought, if I start every day like this, with this much clarity and energy and motivation, it's only a matter of time before I become the best version of myself, capable of creating anything that I want in my outer world, right? Any results, any outcomes. And I was thinking it would be 6 to 12 months. It was less than 2 months that I more than doubled my income. I went from being in the worst shape of my life to running a double marathon, which I was not a runner. And my depression went away on day one because I was so hopeful and optimistic with this morning ritual. And so I went to my wife, I said, sweetheart, it feels like a miracle how fast my life has turned around from this morning routine. And she goes, it's your miracle morning, sweetie. And I go, yeah, I love that, miracle morning. So that's how it all came to be. Now let me dive into these 6 practices. And by the way, once this changed my life, I felt responsible to share it with others. And I started teaching it to my coaching clients and they all went, I'm not a morning person, but okay, I'll give it a try. And you know, 2 weeks later on the next call, they all went, oh my gosh, Hal, I'm a morning person and this is amazing. And I'm selling more than I ever have. I'm earning more income. I'm happier. I'm exercising. I'm meditating. I'm journaling. And that's when the light bulb went off and I went, if this changed my life and the Miracle Morning changed my clients' lives and none of us were really morning people, this could change anyone's life. And that's when I decided I've got to write a book, you know? So the 6 practices, these, by the way, you can do in any order. You could do in any duration. There's in the book, The Miracle Morning, there's a 6-minute version where you do 1 minute for each practice on days when you're really pressed for time. Then most people do a 60-minute version, the average, about 80%, and about 15% do a 30-minute version. Realistically, but you can do whatever you want, and you can even do the different order of these. But there's an acronym to remember these six practices. The acronym is SAVERS, S-A-V. So if you're writing it down, write it vertically. S, then underneath that, A-V-E-R-S. And I'll tell you what each of those stand for. The first S is for silence. So that's starting your day with a period of peaceful, purposeful silence. That's either prayer or meditation. And essentially, in doing that, you allow yourself to calm your nervous system and you open yourself up to the wisdom of higher intelligence, of God, of your own simple subconscious that you can't hear when you're checking email or when you're watching TV or when you're watching the news, right? You've got to be in that period of silence that most people are never really in, except in the shower, which is why that's when you have your best ideas, because you're silent. Right? There's no stimulus. It's just you and the wall and the water. But you don't have to wait for your shower. You can intentionally do that every morning. So silence is first, then affirmations. Affirmations, not in the way you might have been taught, but affirmations in a way where you simply affirm something that you are committed to thinking, feeling, believing, or doing. And when you repeat that affirmation every day, I'm committed to doing blank. No matter what, there's no other option. I'm committed to achieving this goal. I'm committed to improving in this area. I'm committed to waking up every day and doing my miracle morning. Whatever you affirm over and over and over and over and over again, you're re-solidifying that commitment to either think, believe, or do the thing you're affirming. The V in SAVERS is for visualization. And the world's greatest athletes visualize, and I'm telling you, every day, see not only the end result, see what you want to create in your life, but see yourself doing it today. What do you have to do today that will guarantee you're moving incrementally in the direction of your ultimate vision? So make sure your vision includes both the end result and then equally, if not more important, what are you going to do today? See yourself doing that in an optimum state. The E is for exercise. You don't have to go to the gym. But you got to get your heart rate up. You got to get blood and oxygen to your brain. You got to move your body so you wake up, you have more mental clarity, you increase the endorphins that you release so you feel better, right? And you have more energy throughout the day. The R in SAVERS is for reading. And reading is obviously not rocket science, but consider that if we read 10 pages a day out of a self-help book on anything in our life, read a book on finances, read a book on marriage, read a book on happiness, read a book on productivity. If you read just 10 pages a day, that's 3,650 pages a year. That is the equivalent of 18 200-page self-help books. Cut that in half, 5 pages a day, just 5 pages. That's 9 books a year. You could master the areas of finances and every area of life that really matters, right? We're that close. We're all one book away from learning or adopting a strategy that will transform our life. And the final S in SAVERS is for scribing. And scribing is a fancy word for journaling, but the J wouldn't fit at the end of the SAVERS acronym. It would have been awkward. So the journaling, though, is the power of putting pen to paper or even just typing it. You want to use a digital or physical journal. For me, I journal every day. What are 3 things I'm grateful for? And then I sit with each of those and I feel them. I close my eyes and I think about each of the things that I'm deeply grateful for. Then I look at my goals and my to-do list and I go, okay, of everything I could do today, because there's probably 20 things on my to-do list, what's the number one thing that will make the biggest impact in the most important area of my life? And then what's number 2 and what's number 3? So what's my top 3, but what's the number 1? I circle that. And every day that ensures that I am being not just busy, which we often are, but actually being productive by doing things that move me forward. So that's a pretty extensive training on the Miracle Morning, but I wanted to give you guys everything.
So you said we should transform our lives before 8 a.m. What about the people who are not morning people? And what about some challenges that people might go through when they actually start practicing the daily routine of the Miracle Morning?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, for those of you that are not morning people, I would say join the club. We once surveyed our community. I was asked in an interview, they said, what percentage of Miracle Morning practitioners, people in the Miracle Morning community, they asked me what percentage of them were already morning people when they started the Miracle Morning. So it wasn't hard for them to get up. They just, instead of checking email, they did the savers. Instead of turning on the news, they did the savers. Instead of checking social media, they did the saver, right? But it wasn't actually hard to get up early. They just stopped being, you know, distracted. And they said, what percentage were not morning people? So that this was like a radical paradigm shift where they might have believed they were not a morning person and maybe didn't want to be or couldn't be, but they did. And I didn't know the answer to the question. So we surveyed our community, which at the time was probably 60,000 people, I think. Now it's 600,000. But 82%, I was pretty surprised, 82% of Miracle Morning practitioners said they never, before they read the book, they never thought they could be a morning person. That they had never in their life been a morning person. And what that has made me realize, and my own experience, because I wasn't a morning person, that is a limiting belief. To think I'm not a morning person, that just means you've never really committed to it. It's kind of like, I used to hate running. And if you would have said, Hal, are you a runner? I would have said, hell no, like, I do not run, I hate running. But then I committed to run an ultra marathon to raise money for a charity that was really important to me. And I wanted to overcome that limitation that I thought, I can't run. I hate running. I'm not a runner. Guess what happened? The first day, I just ran for like 5 minutes just to get out there. And I didn't like it, but I did it. And then it wasn't so hard. The next day, I ran for 10 minutes. Right? I just kept increasing it. And all of a sudden, guess what happened? I became a runner. If you don't run, you're not a runner. If you don't wake up early, you're not a morning person. If you commit to start running, you become a runner. If you commit to waking up early, you become a morning person, right? So that's what I would say is that you're literally joining millions of people who were not morning people that tried the Miracle Morning and it completely changed changed it for them.
Thank you. My last question starts by kind of sharing your story. You already talked about it a little bit. You went through major challenges like dying or clinically dying from a car accident, and you also were diagnosed with cancer. Still, you continuously managed to choose to practice gratitude. Can you kind of explain the power that comes from choosing to practice gratitude in any given moment instead of wishing something was different?
Yeah, thank you for that. This may be the most important, as much as the Miracle Morning will change your life, this may be the most important lesson that I can share. Life is hard. Right now, the whole world is in quite a state of chaos. And I think that collectively as human beings, we are all feeling it, you know, and in different ways. And we all have our own individual challenges. And then there's the collective challenges. The one thing that I've learned, and Basil mentioned, when I was 20, my car was hit head on by a drunk driver on the highway at 80 miles per hour. And then a car behind me crashed into my door at 70 miles per hour. I broke 11 bones on the left side of my body. I broke my eye socket. My ear was severed. I broke my arm in half. I shattered my elbow. I severed my radial nerve. I broke my pelvis in three places, crushed between the door of the car and the center console. And my femur in my leg, the biggest bone in your body, broke in half. I was found dead at the scene. I was clinically dead for 6 minutes. When I came out of the coma, I was told I had permanent brain damage, which I always joke, my wife and kids will tell you that I definitely do have permanent brain damage. I was told I would never walk again. You know, and I don't care how old you are, but at 20, I'm going, how can this happen? Like, what? You know, I came out of the coma not even knowing that I was in a car accident. And I decided I can't change that I was in a car accident, right? We can't change what's going on around us. We can't change what's already happened to us. We can't change the current balance in our bank account in this moment. We can change it in the future, but meaning your life in this moment is exactly as it is. And you can either be angry about that, be frustrated, wish it were different, resist reality because it's not the way you want, or you can be at peace. You can choose consciously to accept life exactly as it is and give yourself that gift of inner peace. For me, I decided I can't change that I was in a car accident, but I can choose how I experience my reality. I can choose to experience with frustration and sadness and fear and resentment, or I can choose to experience the reality I have with gratitude and peace and optimism and productivity. And right, I get to choose. Either way, my reality is the same, but I get to choose my experience of my reality. It's as good or as bad as I choose to see it. And I even went as far as, I told my dad, I said, Dad, if I'm in a wheelchair the rest of my life, as the doctors say I will be, I've already imagined and accepted the worst case scenario, and I've decided I will be the happiest, most grateful person that you or anyone has ever seen in a wheelchair, because I'm in a wheelchair either way, and I will never let my uncontrollable circumstances or conditions of my life determine how I feel about my life. I'm gonna be grateful rolling around in a wheelchair. I'm gonna be grateful no matter what. And thankfully, that optimism worked, and my faith, it worked, and the doctors came in 2 weeks after the car crash, and they said, Hal, we don't know how to explain this, but your body is healing so quickly, we're going to let you take your first step today in therapy. And I took my first step, and the rest was history. And I'll just wrap this up by, I want to share, you mentioned, Basil, 3.5 years ago, I was diagnosed with a very aggressive form of cancer known as acute lymphoblastic leukemia. I was given a 20 to 30% chance of surviving. Now imagine how scary that is, especially as a father that had a 7-year-old daughter and a 4-year-old son at the time, thinking the doctor's telling me I am almost certain, 70 to 80% chance I was going to die in the next few weeks or months. The day I was diagnosed, I told my wife, she was a wreck, understandably, I was at peace. I said, sweetheart, I can't change that I have cancer, but I can choose to be the happiest and most grateful I've ever been while I endure this journey through cancer. And I will not let my cancer define my emotional well-being. And whatever you're facing in your life right now, realize that the greatest opportunity and responsibility that you have is to choose how you experience your life. Not just the good stuff, because that's easy. It's easy to be happy and grateful with the good stuff. You get to choose how you experience the difficult stuff, the challenges, and you can choose whether those destroy you emotionally, whether they torment you, whether you are sad and angry and depressed, or whether you go, you know what? I'm going to view this challenge as an opportunity for me to learn, to grow, and to become better than I've ever been before. And therefore, I'm smiling while I go through cancer. I'm smiling while I'm in the hospital with the car accident. I'm grateful for the opportunity that I have to grow as a person and learn lessons that can impact not only me, but every person that I ever come into contact with. And we all have that choice right now and every day of our lives.
I'm so thankful you joined us today. Really, I cannot say it enough. And with that said, I just want to one of you the opportunity to ask Hal something that just came up while he was talking.
Yeah, hi. My name is Marcelo. I'm a sophomore. I'm majoring in management. I'm really sorry about your story, but it's really admirable that you went through everything. And I was wondering, how do you keep your motivation as up as it seems? I know maybe there's some times that we might feel down, so it's not always we will be motivated. So I was wondering, what keeps you always motivated?
Yeah, that's a great question, Marcelo. And I'm glad you asked it, because that could be the most universal question for all of us that can apply to all of us, you know? So I'd say there's two things. One are what you might call my goals, right? The things in my life that I am working towards. So that's the first one. So that's the first one is having goals. So I have things in my life that I'm committed to, right? And I'm committed to, for example, the Miracle Morning. I made a commitment when I wrote that book to change 1 million lives one morning at a time. And that was meaning I didn't care how long it took me. I was going to sell at least 1 million copies of that book. And when I launched the book, keep in mind, I wasn't an author. Nobody knew who I was. I didn't have an audience. I was just some guy who decided to self-publish a book, you know, that I didn't know if anybody would read, right? But I believed in it and I knew it would help people. So I committed for as long as it took. So having a goal that you're committed to, and maybe equally as important is the why. What are the reasons? You have to be clear, not just, I want to make $1 million because that'd be fun and I'd have a bunch of money and I could buy stuff, right? Are you doing that for freedom? Are you doing that so you can set an example for other people? Are you doing that so you can support your family, right? Like, and I know you're a sophomore, so I'm guessing you don't have, you know, probably don't have a full-on family yet, but you have a family. But anyway, the point is having your clear goal, your mission. I call it your mission, by the way. For me, it's a mission. It's beyond a goal. Like, goals, you set them, you don't hit them, whatever. A mission, when like the way that someone takes on a mission, you know, like you do whatever it takes to make sure your mission comes true. So that's the first thing, is having a really clear vision, a mission that you're committed to. And again, I like the word mission better than goal. And it's important that you support it with the why. Why are you doing it? And the why doesn't have to be one reason. It could be bullet points. Like I'm like, for me, my mission when I had cancer was, and I read this every day as an affirmation, which is my second answer, the Miracle Morning, which is what supports my mission. Every day I use my Miracle Morning to recommit. Every day I have to recommit to my mission. I have to read the reasons why, remind myself, oh yeah, I'm doing this for the right reasons. I'm going to do it no matter what. When I had cancer, my affirmations every day, number one, I said, I am committed to beating this cancer and living to be 100 plus years old alongside my wife and kids. No matter what, there is no other option. So that, when I read that every day, I recommitted. No matter what, there is no other option. And so that refueled, okay, I'm committed. I'm committed. If I didn't read the affirmation, guess what? I probably would have gotten distracted. And that's what people do. We set a goal, we want to achieve it, but we don't recommit every day. It's kind of like one of my friends, Jeff Woods, you ever heard of the book, The One Thing? There's a book called The One Thing. And they basically say that you have to have a relationship with your goals. You know, it's kind of like you don't meet the love of your life once, right? And then that's it, and then it's over. Like, no, you have to every day, you have to nurture that relationship with that person. And in the same way, you have to nurture the relationship with your goals. The Miracle Morning is how I nurture my relationship with my goals. So number one, what are you committed to? Affirm that every day. Number two, why is it deeply meaningful? So for me, I said, I'm committed to beating cancer and living to be 100 alongside my family. Number one, I'm committed to beating cancer for my wife because I promised her forever and a day. I'm committed to beating cancer for my son, Halston, because he desperately needs my love, leadership, and support. I'm committed to beating cancer for my daughter, Sophie, because she also needs my love, leadership, and support. I'm committed to beating cancer for my dad because he gave up everything to save my life. I'm committed to beating cancer for my mom because she doesn't deserve to lose another child. I'm committed to beating cancer for me because I deserve to live a long, happy, and healthy life. And last but not least, I am committed to beating cancer for the millions of people who are themselves battling cancer or some other disease and don't have the resources and the knowledge that I do, and they desperately need my love, my leadership, and my guidance. So that fueled me every day when I read that. If I was tired, which I was on chemotherapy, I felt like crap all the time, you know? But when I read those, I was like, I'm not just doing it for me. I'm doing it for my wife. I'm doing it for my daughter. I'm doing it for my son. I'm doing it for my dad. I'm doing it for my mom. I'm doing it for me, and I'm doing it for the world. And so that fueled me with the energy, like, I'm doing it. I don't feel like it, but it doesn't matter what I feel like. My commitment is stronger than my feeling in this moment. And I'll give you one last tip. The third step to the way I create affirmations: number one is what I'm committed to. Number two is why I'm committed to it. And number three is which specific actions I will take and when. Right? So then it was, I affirmed what I'm going to do to achieve that outcome. So that is part of my Miracle Morning. It's my affirmation formula. And every morning when I read that, right, I remind myself what I'm committed to, why I'm committed to it, and what I am committed to doing to ensure that I achieve the outcome that I'm committed to. So Marcelo, that's how I stay motivated.
Thank you for your answer. It really helped.
You're welcome, brother. Thanks for asking.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. I already said it. I cannot tell you enough how much this means to me, really.
Basil, it is an honor. I thank you for having me. And everybody, thank you for being here. Basil, can I mention one last thing?
Please.
All right, you guys, so I have to tell you this. It's really exciting. For the last 6 years, We've been filming a documentary called The Miracle Morning Movie. If you go to miraclemorningmovie.com, the first thing is you get to watch the trailer, which is like 3 minutes, but it's really cool. You'll see, and my whole cancer journey was part of the documentary because I got cancer halfway through making the documentary and we decided to film the entire journey. And it became arguably the most inspiring part of the movie.
Thank you so much for sharing it.
Awesome. You're welcome. Basil and everybody, thank you so much. So much love. And I really appreciate all of you. And hopefully I'll see you guys next Saturday.
Thank you so much, Hal. Thanks, everybody, for joining today and for listening to our first episode with Hal Elrod. If you want to get more content from Rise, check out our Instagram, Rise Club Menlo. And again, thanks for tuning in, and we hope to see you next time.